Superintendent, this is unprecedented. And
am I being denied my right to speak?
Sir, is well, not the I time just to listen. Speak.
I just listened to you and everybody
It was a very action-packed and interesting meeting. It was the second attempt that the majority of the board is making in terms of passing a resolution calling on Commissioner Elia to remove Paladino. You know, you might recall that initially they were trying to make the argument that his behavior violated the Dignity for All Students Act and interfered with their ability to conduct board business. Obviously, that poses kind of an interesting legal dilemma in that Carl also has his First Amendment rights under the Constitution. So, you know, we at the news spoke with a number of attorneys. I think that was very much part of the public dialogue as to whether, you know, his comments that he made in Art Voice were strong enough to prove, you know, that he violated either of those two kind of tenets, and that he making those comments was interfering with the district's ability to do business. You know, it seemed to be kind of wishy-washy territory for them. So, you know, and then 2 weeks following the original Art Voice article, Carl wrote another article in Art Voice in which he disclosed comments that were made in executive session. So that appears to be the new strategy that the board is taking, and that was the you know, the focus of this new resolution. You know,
of course, a direct violation of policy for
right.
the board.
Yeah, the yeah. board policy specifically says that board members are not supposed to disclose that information. You know, again, the reason being, does it interfere with the district's ability to negotiate contracts, to, you know, involve to purchase land or how it spends its money? You know, and again, this is also kind of interesting territory because I've spoken with a number of different, you know, legal experts, and there's mixed feelings on this, too. I mean, the question is, and probably what Carl's defense is going to be, is that he made the comments after negotiations with the Buffalo Teacher Federation had finished. You know, the flip side of it is, do the comments reveal anything about the district strategy and how it was engaging in those negotiations that could potentially affect contract talks down the line with either the BTF or other unions? You know, so again, it's kind of how you approach the legal argument. Also interesting is, again, you know, there were a number of speakers who came and condemned what Paladino said, and Dr. Cash did give Carl an opportunity to respond to the speakers, which is highly unusual. The board members don't usually respond to the speakers. The superintendent doesn't always himself. You know, so Paladino, I think, kind of reiterated many of the things that he has in the weeks since this. And then Dr. Cash did also kind of weigh in. And his remarks were interesting. And, you know, he kind of laid down the line and said, you know, there are behavior has consequences.
To be accountable for everything we do. Everything.
And he seemed to very strongly suggest that there need to be consequences in this case for Carl Paladino. What those consequences might be, you know, will be up to Commissioner Elia to decide. But also interesting is, you know, keep in mind that Dr. Cash and Commissioner Elia have a very strong working relationship that predates either of them coming to New York. So, you know, I find that kind of element fascinating that he made these fairly strong remarks, spoke quite a bit about how there's a lot of work to do in this district. He's intent on doing the work in this district, and that this has been really a huge distraction. So, you know, does that somewhat pave the way for her to make an argument that these comments did, in fact, interfere with the district's ability to do district business? I think we'll find out in the coming weeks and maybe months.
The other thing that came up, too, was board member Larry Quinn is also claiming that he was left out of a meeting when they prepped this resolution.
I'm talking about disclosure, honesty, and transparency. Nothing to do with trying to distract from what Mr. Paladino said, which I found was reprehensible, and I've told him, and I'm not going to back off of that. So let's not confuse the two.
And now he may be hiring his own attorney to pursue this?
Yes. What happened is Barbara Nevergold sent an email to everyone on the board except for Larry Quinn and Carl Paladino. And the purpose of the meeting, which was also last week, was to meet with the attorney they've hired to seek legal counsel on how to move forward with the petition. You know, there's a couple questions with this whole situation. Typically, if there's a majority of elected officials that participate in a meeting, it should be noticed to the public. They can still have certain conversations in executive session, but typically they would notice that, so people knew that they were meeting. I did speak with Bob Freeman at the Committee on Open Government, and he pointed out, I was actually a little surprised to hear this, but if they're getting legal advice from their attorney, that is one of very few exceptions where they don't have to publicly notice the meeting. You know, the thinking being that an elected official is entitled to seek legal counsel. Now, you know, and he explicitly said he doesn't like it. It's kind of a loophole, a workaround. You know, why not just publicly notice the meeting and then vote to go into an executive session? His point was, if you do that, then you have to include all of the board members, which then kind of gets to the next point, is it does seem like this was a very deliberate attempt to exclude Larry Quinn from this meeting. You know, one might be able to make the argument that since the legal case in question is involving Palladino, that you wouldn't include him in this conversation. But to deliberately exclude one other board member does seem highly unusual. And if, you know, not a violation of the law, I think does certainly raise some questions. And Larry's issue now at this point, his argument is that, you know, Barbara Nevergold's actions actually violate his rights as a board member to participate in the conversation and for him to seek the same kind of legal advice in an ongoing board member. So, you know, he stated at the meeting last week that he does plan to file a complaint with State Ed against Nevergold, and he may even bring charges against the attorney that, you know, apparently was involved in advising the board they could do this.
So making the matter more complicated. And you'd think, though, that as the school board leadership, they would be very careful as they pursue this against Carl, that they would follow all the rules if they're going to accuse him of violating rules.
You would think, you know, but this is the Buffalo School Board, so with it, sometimes things like this happen. You know, this, we talked a little bit off air, this whole situation has been bizarre, and, you know, it is also very highly politicized. You know, you look at the people who are involved in these efforts. You know, NYSET, the State Teachers Union, files the first petition against Carl. BTF had a hand in that, the Buffalo Parent Teachers Organization. It's a lot of the same people that were actively working to not get Carl Palladino reelected, to oust his colleagues from the school board. So there is a very political element to this. I don't think anyone thinks what Carl said was right or not offensive, but he really did open a door for some of these people who have disagreed with him, you know, ideologically and philosophically since he came on the board, you know, to kind of take this opportunity and push for his removal. So, and I think you see, you know, just as the board has moved forward and taken some of these actions, you know, this private meeting, Larry's the only one not invited. You know, he's a close ally of Carl's. So, you know, you're starting to see those kind of dividing lines as this moves forward.
I want to go back to when Carl was allowed to speak at the session. I understand someone had a coughing fit.
Yes. Again, you just can't make this stuff up. There was a gentleman in the audience who, as Carl spoke, started
years,
to cough. And I think most people there thought it was very obvious he was trying to, you know, cough over Carl.
I intend to pursue.
He has to be removed.
He was removed. Patty Pierce stepped in, and also kind of an unusual move because usually that falls on the board president to call for someone's removal. He was taken out. Shortly after that man was removed, Councilman Wingo was actually in the audience and kind of picked up this coughing routine, and Patty Pierce turned around and handed him a bottle of water. So, you know, very interesting. Also, you know, and people probably saw in the tweets and some of the TV coverage, there was another woman in the audience at this meeting who attempted to serve Carl with legal papers. It wasn't clear why, who she was, if this was something related to one of these petitions or if this was, you know, related to another matter. But this woman, when she attempted to serve him with the papers, was also approached by security and removed from the boardroom, which obviously you're not supposed to interfere with a court officer who's serving someone legal papers. But I don't think anybody knew who she was or what she was doing. And, you know, you've covered these meetings over the years. sometimes people just come out of the audience and, you know, you don't know who they are. So it was just all around very, very strange kind of atmosphere.
Great movie of the week.
Right.
And I want to talk a little bit about the filings because, as you mentioned, the BTF filed as well their petition. And then several teachers have also filed that was separate, correct?
It's actually a number of Buffalo teachers who NYSET was kind of the agency that filed on their behalf. I would imagine it's because they have the legal expertise to put together a petition like this. It is being supported by BTF, which obviously is part of NYSET. But the names on the petition are actually that of Buffalo teachers. You know, and then again, kind of separate from that, the BPTO, the parent group, is expected to file a petition as well as the school board. You know, and it will be interesting to see what Mary Ellen Elia does from here, because this is, you know, as we've been covering this over the past few weeks, and I'm sure you've heard the same thing, this is a really unprecedented situation. It's highly unusual to remove an elected official from office. Carl's comments are also highly unusual. You don't typically have an elected school board member making such statements, publishing them in a newspaper, and just the way this story has blown up internationally. There's a lot of people that are paying attention to this. So along with, you know, she has to look now not only at what did Carl say and kind of weigh do his words and do those remarks interfere with the district's ability to function and, you know, weigh that against his First Amendment. But she's also doing this now amid tremendous pressure ranging from people who are just totally offended by what Carl said and who maybe don't, you know, understand some of the legalities involved in this, to, again, people that, you know, politically may stand to gain something by either Carl being removed from the board or by whatever decision she might make in this. So it's I don't think anyone really has a guess what she's going to do at this point, because there's just so many nuances to this case. There's so many, you know, all these various petitions are being filed. There's all the, you know, several different arguments are being made, you know, and every attorney you talk to has a different opinion on how this might go.
Even the Regent Collins said to me, that's all I can say about that, when she briefly stated that it's going to be a lengthy process ahead.
Right. And, you know, and Regent Collins noted to me, though, too, I had asked if the Board of Regents had any authority to step in. And her response to me was that, no, the commissioner is the only one who can act, but she reports to us anyway. And right. I think it's clear, you know, Betty Rosa came out very early with a statement condemning Carl Paladino. Catherine Collins has condemned what Carl Paladino said. You know, there's very few people that are really standing in his corner at this point. You know, but again, you have to weigh the First Amendment issues and kind of, does this meet the threshold for her to remove him? It's probably going to be a very difficult decision for her to make. And again, I don't think that's going to be the end of it, because if she does decide to remove him, I think it's very likely that he will appeal that decision in court, you know, which, again, will then probably make this an even lengthier process, which may very well stretch till the end of his board term.
Which tells me we'll be talking about this.
Right. be a lot more rallies and protests in the weeks and months to come, probably.
Tiffany Lank, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.